Hey, Pathway people, it's Loretta. We're going to do a song that everybody knows. We've been doing it Pathway for years, and all the background vocals and all the background instruments are Wendell. He's not in my house. It's just magic. Here we go.
Hey, good evening, Pathway family. It's Matt, and welcome to another virtual Pathway, where we all know that it's okay not to be okay, but I do hope that it was a reasonably happy week this week. We also hope that this will be our final virtual Pathway. If nothing changes, we are anticipating to be face-to-face this upcoming Sunday, if you are able and if you're comfortable. We'll be together face to face, and it's something we anticipate. I've been thinking a lot about anticipation in general, and we're seeing the vaccine roll out. We're seeing more things open. We're seeing I think a little bit in and around us, a little feeling that things are progressing. So a lot of anticipation begins to build in a positive way. There's also, evidently, we're anticipating a little bit of snow this week. as long as the weather reports have not changed. Anticipation also has a little bit of a risk to it too, at least for me, if you're like me. I can tend to anticipate too much, meaning things that I have to do, have to get done, something that maybe I'm not looking forward to in the near future, in the next month, whatever it is. I tend to pile those blocks up on top of each other and it becomes very overwhelming. It can bring on anxiety, it can bring on fear, it can bring on a lot of those feelings that are not always helpful. And what I have found lately that has helped me is a couple of things. One that I'm reminded of is what we say in Pathway, you know, all the time, which is love the person in front of you. And why I like that so much and why that helps me in this context is that it prompts or forces you to be present in the moment. Another thing is that in the course of a day, I've tried even virtually sending a note to a friend, a relative, someone, just to check in with them. How are you? Tell them you were thinking about them today. Again, it's just something that puts me present in today, because today has its own worries and its own things to get accomplished and its own trials that we need to get through. But I really think that's a good way to think, or I found it it's a good way to try to narrow the scope of what we're anticipating and all of those things that are coming, so that the weight of that begins to lessen. And I have found that it does help with a bit of calm, with a bit of lessening of the anxiety and all the things that you can tend to think about and build on. With that said, back to the very positive part of anticipation is anticipating seeing each other face to face, and hopefully we can continue for a long time and not have to go back. The other anticipation of positive things and hopeful things in our lives to really feel very good and calm and hopeful for. So I hope your life is full of those things. But if you're like me and you do have to work through some of these others, maybe just anything you can do to stay in the moment and stay present in the moment can tend to take your mind off of some of those other things. So tonight, if we're thinking about a lot, let's take our minds and hearts and put them with our Pathway family and listen to some good message and some good music and all be present tonight. I sincerely hope to see all of you when we're comfortable, when we all feel safe in person, and everyone have a nice evening and a good week this week. Still hope here, no matter.
share your grace and love and exhale. Oh God, we breathe in your grace, we breathe in your grace and exhale. Oh God, we do not exist for us, but to share your grace and love and exhale. Just let go. You won't.
Pathway. Sunny day today. This is, unless something breaks or bends, our last virtual pathway. Next week we'll be in person, and the location in the church is yet to be decided, so we will let you know via text or email as quick as we can, or on the Facebook page. But yeah, this is our last virtual pathway, and I just couldn't hardly see myself sitting in my living room or in my boring office at church. This has become our little meeting place, my little red truck. I dig it. I know I've got your attention. Make you nervous a little bit. And I know Chad's got my back. He's watching for anybody coming up behind me. And And if you ever want to, you know, free ride in my little red truck, just let me know. I'll take you somewhere. We'll go out and get a Coke or get some french fries. We'll have fun. Anyway, I'm Wendell. I'm living loved by God. And for some reason, these days, it's pretty close to my heart. I'm feeling very, very loved. And sometimes I don't, but right now I am. And I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work. I've had pretty significant control issues, and I wouldn't even try to fool you into saying that those are all better, because they're not. I've also struggled with pornography and overconsumption of alcohol and anger, verging on rage at times in the past, and panic attacks, middle of the night, bad. And significant bouts with depression going all the way back to my junior high and high school days. So a lot of that is water under the bridge, but it's all part of my story. And I kind of just want to share, this is our last virtual pathway, and I'd kind of like to share part of my story. You've heard it before, but I just kind of want to, I don't know, it's fresh with me, and I'd kind of like to just bring us up to date. So I just want to start by saying a few things about God. That's a good place to start. And God is he is real confident in his love. And he's powerful in his love. And he's pure and holy in his love. And the more I read in the big story of Scripture, the stronger this conviction gets that everything God does is out of love. I think he created the world and all that is out of love. I think he was making a nursery to put his little kiddos in. And I think he put every bit of love and creativity and joyfulness and happiness. And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't chuckle a few times when he was putting it all together for us. I think he's pursued humanity down through the ages out of love. He became one of us, born and died and rose again out of love. And his ultimate gift, which Jesus said is this as good as it gets, he gives us his Spirit, the very Spirit of God, the very Spirit that created the universe. He gives his Spirit to live inside of us and live life with us out of love. So sometimes God's love can be in your face, you know. Sometimes it can be very subtle, like a whisper. Sometimes it's very beautiful and elaborate, and sometimes it's kind of just mundane, just vanilla flavored. Sometimes it feels like punishment, and sometimes it feels like a hug. Sometimes it's very emotional, very passionate, and sometimes it's very rational and very commonsensical. It just comes in all different forms. But God is doggedly relentless in his love for us. If Ron was here, he'd accuse me of going on a rabbit trail here, but when I was younger, I raised beagles. We hunted rabbits with them. And a beagle is not the smartest dog. in the dog kingdom, but they are relentless. Once they smell that rabbit and they get on that scent, they will trail that rabbit until they nearly drop dead. They'll come back with their ears all torn up, ragged because of the briars, the pads on their feet all bloody and worn because they've run and run. If you let them hunt all day, they will hunt all day. I actually had one beagle who I had to go out and find in the field because he didn't come home, and I had to carry him home. He was so beat up and bruised because he was just relentless. So when you say that God is doggedly relentless in his pursuit of us, yeah, he is. And you know, the clearest picture we get of God's love is his son. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what do we see in Jesus? We see a guy who touches the untouchable leper. He cuddles little snotty-nosed kids, and he washes feet. I mean, you know, all out of love. Not to make an impression, just because he loves us. We have a Jesus who willingly went to his death like one of us. And I believe busted out of the tomb, not out of some crazy divine power, but out of love. The tomb was death and dark and hate, and love was stronger. Exploded the door off, boom. There he was alive with his people, saying, don't be afraid, it's me. Enough said. I mean, you know, God's into love. God believes in love. God is confident in love. So most of my life, I have battled all kinds of emotional damage. Struggled with emotional damage. I had low self-esteem. I've had severe anxiety. Well, I already introduced myself, you know. Panic attacks, anger, lust, jealousy and envy. I mean, you name it. Yeah, that was me. And I was a minister. Right while I was up front preaching and trying to lead people, telling them that God loved them, and yet thinking it doesn't apply to me. I mean, I tried praying them away. I tried reading books. I lived the dutiful life. And still, I struggled under this burden of shame and all the rest of the stuff I just named. So nothing seemed to work. And I think, I mean, while I was in it, I didn't have this figured out, but I've kind of thought it through since. I think that somehow I figured that my version of badness stumped God's goodness. He could love all these other people, find a way to love all these other people, but he looks in his bag of love and he says, I ain't got nothing for you, Wendell, because you are so despicable, or you're just so ragged, or you're just so dirty, or you're just so inferior, whatever. And so I figured I had out-batted God's goodness. Now that I look back on it, I think, man, what a warped version of arrogance is that? I'm too bad for God's goodness. But that's where I was. And then somewhere along the line, I don't know when it happened, but somewhere along the line, I realized that this wasn't about my lovability. It was about God's ability to love. And that's a cute little play on words, isn't it? But let that sink in. This isn't about whether I deserve God's love or not. It's about God's heart for me that says you don't have to deserve anything. I love you because you're my child. Period. But I'm not a good child. Did I say that mattered? But I've messed up. Did I say that mattered? So, yeah, when that started to hit home in me, this isn't about my lovability. This is about his ability to love. Something happened. Now, this is where the water goes over my head. This is where it becomes a mystery to me. Things started happening inside me, and I've shared this with you before, but things started happening inside me, and I realized that my life was being transformed, that a lot of my emotional issues were just going away. They were vanishing, I don't know how that happened. I have no earthly idea how that happened. I just know it did. And as it went along, it gained momentum. It went deeper. Infiltrated, there's a good word. It infiltrated every aspect of my life. My thought life, my relationship with other people, my work ethic, everything. It just started to seep into everything. And I don't know how. And you know what? In the grand scheme of things, that's okay. Do I need to throw up a good God? This is silly. Do I need to throw God up against the wall and says, tell me how you do your thing? I mean, it's he's God. And you know what? When it comes right down to it, it ain't none of my business how he does what he does. I'm just glad he does do what he does. And he does it out of love. And it's made a difference in me. So I gotta say this. Go back to my damaged days. I wanted to love other people. I wanted to love other people, just put it that way. I was a pastor. I was supposed to love other people, but I couldn't seem to make it happen. It was like putting a left-handed glove on your right hand. It was just like, with a lot of effort, you can make it look like it fits, but it doesn't fit, and it's never comfortable, and it's never natural. It's always contrived and artificial. And so I tried to love, and I think even that's a good thing. But it wasn't natural. Once God starts to work his magic, it's like love just starts to happen. And like I was saying, it's a mystery. I don't know how it starts happening. I just know it does. Love just starts to happen, and it just kind of flows. And a lot of times when I talk to people about this, the end of the conversation, they'll say, well, that what you said really got to me. I really need to work on love. Stop right there. No, you don't. You don't. You're going back to putting a left-handed glove on a right hand. You don't need to work at love. What you need to do is fall back into God's love and let him love you the way he wants to love you. Period. And you just show up there every day. God, just, I'm going to let you love me. I know I'm messed up. I know I'm drinking when I shouldn't be. I know I'm looking at porn when I shouldn't be. I know I'm hating my neighbor when I shouldn't be. I know I'm lying when I shouldn't be. I know I'm whatever when I shouldn't be. But I'm going to swallow hard and accept the fact that you love me anyway. And not in spite of these things, but because of them. You love me with a relentless, dogged, beagle after a rabbit love. And just live there. Just live there. When it begins to take hold in you, when it begins to take hold in you, you get to the place where you no longer feel like you are working for God. You're working with him. And love is not something you talk about so much. It's more like something you breathe. It just becomes a lifestyle. It just becomes natural. And you're not even, and you don't even know where it came from. It just starts to happen. But there's no other place to live than love. There's no other place to live. Love makes obsolete all the other stuff we've worked so hard at. We don't have to prove anything. We don't have to lie anymore. We don't have to make something up anymore. We don't have to be right. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't. You just simply love the person in front of you. You love yourself. You let God love you. I don't know what else to say. But I think this is a good way to close out our virtual pathways, is just to share with you what love has done in me. I have not done it myself. I'm not any more righteous than I ever was. I'm pretty messed up, as my wife. But love has done its work in me, and you know what? I just want to love you. That's it. I just want to love you. So, I'm almost to where I'm going. I think it'd be time to circle up in the cup, hold hands, and say the serenity prayer. Serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying each moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Keep coming back, and I want to see your face, at least from your nose up, next Sunday night, the 21st, at Pathway. Come be with us. We're going to be in person. Still have to wear a mask, still have to follow all the COVID protocols, but we can be back in person. And we'll all leave with bruised elbows, because we'll do the elbow bump, and we're all good. Keep coming back. I love you.